Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Hello everyone, and welcome to show number 36 from Engage for Success. I'm your host for this afternoon's show, Jo Moffat, this time, and I'm MD and founder of the creative communications consultancy Woodread and a member of the Engage for Success Guru group. At Woodread, we're all about working with our clients. Some are blue chip, some are not-for-profit, so all sizes really, to help them use their brands to drive employee engagement within their organisation and so create healthy, productive internal cultures. As far as we're concerned, the brand inside is as important as the brand outside. And I'm really pleased to have this afternoon with me a very interesting guest. I hope you're going to enjoy it. We've got a little bit of a melodic theme to this afternoon's show. And I'm welcoming as our guest today Andrea Callanan, who is co-director of Sing and Inspire. She's a classically trained musician and has been singing professionally for nearly 20 years and teaching music for even longer than that. And since 2000, she's been a voice coach for the Welsh music industry. So an interesting lady, and has got some really interesting things to talk about with us this afternoon. Essentially, what we're going to be looking at this afternoon is why singing is such an amazing tool to encourage people to engage not only with themselves but with others as well, and how organisations can successfully use singing to impact and benefit their business. So welcome to the show this afternoon, Andrea.
Hi, Jo. How are you? Thanks very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So a long time in the music industry. You have a long career in the sector. So can you tell me a little bit about how you actually came to be involved in working with organisations and using singing as a tool for business? So sort of what got you to that point, really, Andrea?
Okay, so quite a while ago, I had an idea for team building using singing. I was a freelance singing coach and music industry voice coach, and I had an idea to do team building events using singing. And then my current business partner, Georgina Jones, who I was working with at the time, suggested that we set up business choirs. She'd been working in senior management in Admiral Insurance and had said that if she'd had a choir that she could have gone to in her lunchtime because she was so busy at work that she would have really enjoyed it. So that's what we decided to do. And we knew that through the voice coaching methods that I use and through the ones that I'd used for years and years previously, of which George had sampled because I taught her singing, we knew that those methods were transformational. And at the time, when we set up the business, it was just as the crash had peaked. It was 2008, October 2008. And we knew that we could take that to business and that we could help really motivate people and help people feel better about themselves and about their situations. As you know, with engagement, it's all about engaging with yourself and understanding that you're there because there's some kind of choice involved. And if you want to change your situation, sometimes you can and sometimes you can't, but it's all to do with your attitude and how you approach the situation that you're in. And of course, there's so much of that that happens when you're a performer. So in performance coaching, there's a huge amount of attitudinal training that you do, and confidence training and everything really to do with fighting your demons to be able to get on stage in front of many people. And of course, that applies to business because a lot of it is about breaking boundaries and, you know, kind of just really pushing through those areas of fear, which of course is what most team building is built on.
Tell me, Andrea, you obviously when I sort of introduced you, I talked about your singing career and your involvement in the music industry for a couple of decades, and you described your business partner Georgina as having worked at Admiral. So was your background entirely in the music industry, or had you got any commercial business background as well?
Yeah, so like most musicians, when I graduated from university, didn't have any money, so I went to work for a call centre. So I live in South Wales, and there are lots of call centres in South Wales. There are a few pockets around the country, aren't there, where there are many call centres. South Wales is one of them. So I went to work for Centrica, for British Gas, And I had some previous managerial experience, which was to do with, I'd been self-employed for some years anyway as a musician, but also I had had some retail experience and I'd managed some shops. So I kind of got into management very quickly. And also because I'd been teaching previously to that, I'd been teaching for a good probably 5 years before, or even longer actually, 7 years before I graduated, started teaching as a teenager, I already had quite a good understanding about people. I didn't really know what engagement was at that point, and I don't think many people did. It was way back in the kind of mid to late 90s. Yeah. So engagement really wasn't
the
buzzword.
The word
then
hadn't been invented, had it?
No. I knew that I was good with people, and I was good at kind of getting people to get better results by listening to them and by talking to them about what they loved, rather than pretending that everybody wanted to get into senior leadership in a company and all the rest of it. So I kind of did quite well then, and I was there for 4 years. So, and I did my music alongside that for two or three of those years, and then eventually took the plunge, and the Prince's Trust funded me to set up as a solo musician. But before that time, it's really interesting because sometimes we take jobs because we fall into them. You know, we choose them, but we need them for money, and they're jobs rather than vocations. But I've got to say that as much as at my time at British Gas, I didn't really enjoy it, but if I hadn't gone there, there's no way I would have been able to be self-employed for all the years that I have been, had I not had that grounding in business. So I learned a huge amount, and I learned a huge amount about teams, massive amount about teams, about team dynamics, about people. So that really was the forerunner to make me a much better voice coach, and then leading on to Sing and Inspire and other things that I've been doing with people since.
So 2008 then, the world's falling down around our ears, and you know, morale is a rock bottom. People are sort of battening down the hatches, and you decide to set up your own business. How did that happen? You know, what did you sort of do to get things off the ground?
So because of Georgina's connections, she decided she wanted to leave her position at Admiral. Mm-hmm. She'd been building up to it, and but because she'd been working there for such a long time, she had some fantastic contacts there. She's got a great a relationship with Admiral, and now I have too. But one of the things that we did, like all budding entrepreneurs, was we knew that we kind of had to take a leap of faith. So we approached Admiral, one of the contacts that George knew, and we asked them if we could work for them for free. And we set up this motivational choir, which are called Inspire Choirs, that's our brand. And we did a trial choir for 3 months. And what we did in that 3 months was we did some Christmas songs because there's a winter wonderland that that happens in Cardiff every year. And that year, Admiral happened to be sponsoring it. So we said, give us some people for 10 weeks, I think it was, 2 months, 10 weeks. And we will monitor them, and you can have a pop-up choir, basically. We didn't know whether the project would continue or not, but we'll give you a choir, basically, and they can sing at the Winter Wonderland.
Pop-up choirs, brilliant concept.
Yeah, we do quite a few pop-up choirs. They're quite cool. We do lots of flash mobs as well. But so anyway, Admiral agreed, and then what we did was we gauged the people who came to the choir. There was about 25, I think, in the original choir, and we gauged them. So we monitored them. I think we might have sent out a survey every week, you know. It was a big survey anyway when we tried to collate it at the end. But the beauty of that was that we had some fantastic anecdotal evidence at the end of those that three-month period, which just showed some quite dramatic results. And we knew that we'd hit on something. I mean, we knew that people were going to feel better. We knew people were going to feel good. Everybody who sings in choirs feels motivated and juiced, you know, when they've had a singing session. But we didn't realise just how much it would impact people's health, people's attitude, people's confidence, people's stress. And also we didn't realise that it would really, we kind of knew that it would help productivity, but of course until you try it, you never really know the benefits, do you? And the results were quite astounding. So from that, we got our first contract. So Admiral was our pilot choir. And then the contracts just rolled in, really, partly because we had a lot of press because the two of us were entertainers, the two of us were singers, so we kind of knew how to spin things. So we got a press company on board very quickly. And as soon as the press started releasing, lots of other companies wanted to emulate what Admiral were doing. So we got a lot of business very quickly.
Okay. So the Admiral one initially was a kind of winter wonderland, kind of Christmas season, Christmas singing. So what sorts of choirs do you do? Does it vary from business, you know, from organisation to organisation, or do they tend to be similar sorts of things?
They're similar. So we've got systems and processes that we've put in place to make sure that our choirs can be duplicated. Because eventually the idea would be that we could license the model, probably. That's not been set in stone yet, but that's one of the ideas of how potentially the license could grow. The choirs are, what's the best way to describe them? They're a bit like, I'm going to say it, Glee for business. Only I think they're much better than Glee. So basically they're really high energetic. It's mainly pop music that we sing. Sometimes we sing some traditional music, like we sing some gigs because we're in Wales. You know, we often get asked to sing on the pitch for the Six Nations, and we're actually singing for the World Cup, the Rugby League World Cup as well. So there are some traditional Welsh songs that we'll sing that are rugby songs. The Christmas songs
clean
that we sing are all
songs,
Christmas.
I hope.
Yeah, they're all clean rugby songs. They're not rugby songs from if you played rugby. They're rugby songs from if you observed them. It's great fun though. So all of the songs that we sing are uplifting, and the music we write all of our own arrangements in house, and we get the licenses from all the publishers, and we record them all professionally as well as a remote learning technique. So we don't use sheet music; we use audio learning techniques, and we have choir motivators that go into those businesses and teach the music. So it's a bit like, it can be anything up to 5-part harmony, but it's a bit like 3-to-5-part harmony choir karaoke. There we go.
Right. Okay.
As you can imagine, it's all backing tracks. It's very rare that we use live music. It's usually backing tracks. And the type of gigs that we perform with the choirs tend to be for charities and things that the businesses might be sponsoring. But they're really high energy. They're wonderful.
We're going to play a little bit of one a bit later on at the end of the show, so people will be able to hear the kind of thing that that you're talking about. So, you talked a little bit about the results you got from the initial pilot with Admiral. What do you find happens when you go into an organisation and you set up this model? What kinds of things start to occur?
So the biggest impact probably is to do with the people, obviously, and it's to do with how they feel. Everything that we do really is about people being present and recognizing how they feel. So once you start doing an activity with people, especially a group of people, and they start to collectively feel something, that continues. So because we use singing, one of the things about singing are the physical and scientific benefits of it. So when you sing, you release endorphins, natural endorphins, you release serotonin, dopamine, which is your addictive hormone, and you also release nitric oxide. So those hormones that are flying around your body when you're singing, number one, they make you feel great. Number two, they make you want to do it again. And number three, they're actually healing your body while you're doing it, which is quite wonderful. So we have lots of people. It's amazing. It really is. And that was one of the benefits that we didn't realize was going to be so huge. So a lot of the organizations that work with us bring us on to actually help with their occupational health, and we come out of their well-being budget. So what you find is that lots of people will have less colds. There's a massive impact on sickness and attrition. So one of the things that we like to do is it's a value offering that we offer, but we like to make sure that we can quantify an expense. If there's a return on investment required, then sometimes we need to prove that there's been a return on investment. And one of the main ways that we do that is through the sickness. So that's quite remarkable. The hardline results really are to do with, obviously there's the sickness, and that can be brought right the way back down to a bottom dollar. But there's also the stuff to do with people. So there's the customer experience and the quality results. There's also stuff to do with sales, and there's also stuff to do with communication internally inside the office, and that can be really powerful. So if you've got some people in a choir who generally they tend to be voluntary choirs in big organisations, so there's lots of departments represented usually. What you find with customer service.
People, sorry to interrupt you, Andrew, but is there a sort of optimum size that you tend to have?
There isn't. Well, it's not an optimum size, but it tends to vary. Usually the choirs can be anywhere between
20 and 100. That's generally right. The size that we've got. So most of the choirs kind of sit around the 30 number, 30 to 50 mm-hmm. number. We've got quite a few mm-hmm. smaller choirs. We've got two smaller choirs. But it depends on the size of the... It depends on the size of the business, and it also depends on what the company does, because it depends on shift work, it depends on mm-hmm. resource, you know, if it's a contact centre and you're certain allowed of people, they're allowed all at the same time. Yeah. Sometimes
sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying you get a number of people across different departments get represented.
Yeah, and that can really help with solving problems. And it mm-hmm. can also really help with company pride and company identity. Suddenly people don't just feel part of the choir, but because they feel part of the choir, they re-identify with the company that they work for. Because what often happens, we find with people who are disengaged and people who aren't as motivated as they could be, it's because they're either what I call sleepwalking in their job. Mm-hmm. So their jobs have mm-hmm. become monotonous and kind of humdrum, and they feel like they haven't got a choice anymore. They feel like they're stuck, which of course is never really the case. It's just that's a mindset. So one of the things about using team building to engage people, and especially with using singing, is that we're able to really introduce people to changing their mindsets and to looking at how they interact with their own attitudes. And so as soon as they start engaging with themselves, because they're feeling something, they feel great, they're having a great time, you know, they're interacting with lots of people, they feel like they belong to something, their health might be getting better, their work might be getting better, their choices are becoming more positive, they're suddenly more engaged, obviously. That's why we do it. We're an engagement company. So because they're more engaged, you find that the whole thing flows much better. So work is nicer environment to be in. They have a much easier time at work because they know more people. They're more in tune with what they want and how they behave because they're choosing better behaviours. It's really amazing. Actually, I'm talking to you about it now, and I think it's a great business, and I own it. It's fab. I'm almost selling it to myself as I'm saying it to you.
Exciting.
I haven't said that sentence for ages.
Lovely.
It's really cool.
Do they do it in their own time, or are they doing it in company time, or a bit of both? Or?
A bit of both. It depends on the company. So, again, if you have a company, it depends on the culture of the company. So if you have a company where engagement is already very much part of the culture, very much part of the values of the organisation that we're working with, you'll find that most of those companies will do a bit of a handshake. They'll do a bit of a win-win. So you might have your rehearsals in your lunch hour. So that's mm-hmm. not in company time. But, for instance, if you have a gig where you're representing the company and you need 2 hours out of the afternoon to rehearse and to travel to said gig, then that will be taken from work time. Other companies, some companies will simply blanket pay for the time. They will pay for the time, they will pay for everything. So it's literally a staff benefit. And those are companies who are usually trying to get a better engagement survey score, or they might be trying to get in the top 100 best companies to work for list. You know, there's usually an aim for them to do that. A lot of the companies where engagement is already expected, they will say, well, if you're engaged, then you've taken ownership of this, so you'll come in your own time. Because you want to, we're already paying for it, and you know, there needs to be a bit of give and take. But it very much depends on the organisation.
But they all pretty much would do some kind of measurement as to how it has impacted upon the organisation across a number of different measures. I mean, you've touched on a few as you've been talking about, and it seems to be quite, you know, long list really. You know,
it's really on the benefits
fitness levels, nutrition, turnover, and engagement, productivity, and that kind of thing. So, are you able to share some of those specifically, Andrea, or are they confidential?
No, absolutely, I can share some. So, some headline results from Admiral, for instance. And this was taken, we monitor Admiral every quarter now, but we used to monitor them every month. They're a long-standing client with us. They've been with us 4.5 years. So this was probably taken as a snapshot, I would imagine, in the first year. 96% of members have grown in confidence. 100% of phone-based members show improvements in customer service. That's pretty cool. 90% attribute performance improvements to choir membership. 100% of members look forward to sessions, and there was a really lovely stat which was to do with attendance. So Admiral reported an 80% improvement in work attendance amongst choir members. So it just goes to show that once people are more engaged, you know, they really are engaged. We've got lots of people who will come to work on their days off just so they can go to choir
because it's choir.
Because they don't want to miss it.
What it's sort of
weekly thing, generally, is it?
Yeah, generally it's weekly. So we actually have super choirs as well. So it's really interesting for the people that we call our raving fans. We always want to create raving fans. But for those people that are raving fans, they'll have their internal Inspire choir, which is part of their business, that their business pays for. And then we have a super choir. And the super choir is like a business networking choir. And I would say that at least 50% of the super choirs are made up of people who are already in an Inspire choir and they want more. So then in the middle of the week, they'll pay a sub and they'll come to their super choir as well. And then they'll meet lots of other people from lots of other choirs that we run. So that's a lovely little hub of energy and activity.
Yes.
And it makes them kind of the experts as well. You know, it's really lovely for confidence because they become kind of, you know, really, really competent at what they're doing with the choirs, and they become section leaders and things like that. It's really good. So, yeah, they tend to be weekly. And depending on the organisation, we work with the NHS and we work with a few hospitals. So that means that they're, because they don't get our lunch breaks, they only get half an hour, and they're all sporadic depending on which role they do. So they meet after work. And again, you know, we've seen some amazing results with those as well, because hospitals tend to work in silos. So the communication between those departments, and also, you know, the hierarchy that you get in often in organisations. Some of the organisations we work with have got fairly flat structures because they're so engaged, but a lot of them have got traditional hierarchical structures. And what's wonderful about the choirs is it cuts right across all those boundaries. So you might have a consultant singing next to a porter, or you might have the chief exec singing next to somebody who started with the company 3 weeks previously. Yeah. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. So it kind of creates a real cross-functional team in its own right, really. Yeah,
and that's absolutely what's so powerful about it, I think, because that team is almost like a beacon for the company. If we get it right, which of course we do, we're always continually working to improve it, you know, but if we get it right, then that choir becomes a representation of the company. The choirs are often used for award applications and for press releases and for recruitment, all kinds, you know, because obviously it reflects something quite unique for the company.
About the culture.
Exactly. And it's soft.
It's a soft way. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we were talking to Jackie Connor from Sainsbury's. And she was talking about the Sainsbury's sponsorship of the Paralympics and the impact that that had had on engagement scores across the business. And it was a really interesting piece, actually. But what she was saying was that that on its own in isolation is never the answer. You still, as an employer, as an organisation, you still have to be doing other things. You know, that particular sponsorship of the Paralympics was really powerful, really important, but on its own, it wouldn't have been enough. And if it had been done in the absence of other good practice and other taking engagement seriously in a raft of other different ways, then it wouldn't have had the impact that it did. And so would you think that that's a similar sort of thing to what you're describing, that the kind of companies you work for do other things properly too, if you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it depends on the size of the organisation. Because if you've got an organisation that's got 100 seats or less, then actually the choir can be something which is hugely impactful if they've not got anything else going on. However, generally, the companies that we work with tend to be quite large organisations. And because of that, I always describe the choir as a supplement rather than a panacea. So what we will get often, actually, we get a lot of people who are really interested in the service. But they're interested in it because they may have seen another company choir gig at an awards do or something, and they might think, I want that for my company. Or they might be interested in it because they're emanating to be like one of the companies you work for. And what they'll tend to do is they'll tend to not really understand it, so they won't really understand the value of it. And their company, we only fit with certain companies because of the type of company that we are. We are highly engaged people. We're completely into development, and that's development of self, development of companies, development of engagement. Values are incredibly important to us. They're the cornerstone, really, of our organisation. So we need to fit with the companies. We need to believe the same thing as they believe. They need to get into our why, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you've got a shared agenda.
Completely. We need to resonate with that company. And what we'll often get is companies who are trying to fit us in, if that makes sense. But they're not really there. So they're just not ready for us. And sometimes it can be a case of we try and make it work. But I mean, if I'm honest now, at this stage, for the amount of time that we've been going, we can usually tell whether we're going to work or not, and we're very honest with potential clients, and we'll say, I don't think you're ready for us. Why don't you try this or this? And there's a number of other kind of organisation we can suggest for them. So one of the reasons why we set up the Super Choir, because if a company hasn't got the level of engagement that it needs for us to fit in, then we can suggest that the people who would love the choir can start with the Super Choir. And then what we do is something quite lovely. If that person then is able to kind of shout and scream about how wonderful Sing and Inspire is and how wonderful the choir is, if they get us into their company and they get a contract, then they can have a year's free Super Choir. And we've done that with two companies now. So that's been really cool. Right. It's quite a nice... Mm-hmm. And again, it's to do with ownership and incentive and motivation. And that's a perfect illustration of somebody displaying those qualities and taking that back to their business, which is what it's all about, isn't it?
Which is really what it's all about, yeah. Now, as always on this show, we're running horribly tight for time again. We always seem to never quite have enough time. And I do want to have some time at the end to play out with the Admiral Choir doing a little bit of singing. So if we can just very briefly, in the next sort of minute, what I was wanting to just touch on was, as far as Engage for Success is concerned, we've got the four enablers. We've got the strong narrative, the role of engaging managers, employee voice, and the need for integrity in terms of behaviours matching the values and so on. And I guess of those four, you literally are giving employees a voice. But I just wonder if there's anything particular on that you feel this plays to.
Yeah, well, I think it plays to all of them. I would, wouldn't I? I think it plays to all of them. But particularly, the engaging managers and the employee voice is something that's really interesting for us because, you know, it's all about equality and it's all about people, you know, finding out who they are and celebrating who they are and feeling their confidence and feeling motivated. And you can't do that unless you've got a vehicle to do it through sometimes. And we provide a vehicle that they can do that through. So, for instance, one of the things that we'll do is we'll make sure we have a dialogue with leaders in organisations because our choir can't work unless the leaders have bought into it, basically. Mm-hmm. So, because they need to let their people from their teams go in order for them. And also, it's to show that if you give a little, you get quite a lot back. So, you know, the leaders might be an element of fear, which there always is in the business, isn't there? So there's an element of fear of letting three people go from their team at a busy period. But actually, those three people, when they come back, are selling more. They're making more money for the company because their customer experience is higher and they've got less sick. So actually, they're costing less to have in the organisation as well. They become more profitable employees. And also, they're just nicer to be around. And the employee voice is really interesting because the thing that my way has always been about the voice and locking the voice in people and really helping people to become the best that they can be. And that's one of our values. So I think we hit that one. We resonate with that one really heavily, really heavily. Mm. And the integrity aspect, you can't look at yourself and engage with yourself and be truthful with yourself unless you learn and you have integrity. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're really hot on as well.
Okay. Thank you. Andrea, I'm going to say goodbye now.
Goodbye.
And thank you very much for this afternoon.
You're absolutely welcome.
I'm going to play us out. I'll start running it now because there's a little bit of intro. I'll start running that behind us. I'm going to play us out with the Admiral Choir singing Higher and Higher as an example of the high music.